All right. Good evening, everyone. Let's begin. So we find ourselves this week in Parshas Shlach. First of all, our shir tonight is dedicated by Mayor Anita Gerstein and Moshe and Davida Trapper in memory of the yahrzeit of their beloved father, Israel Ashkenazi. We hope that of the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah in the family in the Chama. Thank you. Okay, so let's begin. So there's a lot to speak about in Parshas Shlach. I want to draw your attention. If you take a look at 1 and 2. So let's begin with number 1. Parshas Shlach has an incredible number of dramatic and traumatic episodes. So of course, most notably number 1, V'hanoshim asher alu imo amru lo nuchal la'alos es ha'am ki ela am ki chazak kumenu. So of course, as Parshas Shlach begins, it begins with the story of the Meraglim, the story of the spies. And at first glance, it does not appear that the story is going to be tragic, because at first glance, again, Klal Yisrael just simply wants to dispatch emissaries into the land of Israel, scout out the land, see the best way to be able to conquer that. In fact, the Ramban Nachmanides explains that it was a reconnaissance mission. It was an effort to go in and to figure out the best way to conquer it. The mission did not start out as, should we go into the land, but rather the mission began as how? How should we go into the land, right? What mechanism, what strategy, what direction? But of course, we know the story. Everything goes south relatively quickly, and the Meraglim essentially get scared off from entering into the land of Israel. And very quickly, their confidence is shaken, and that's number 1. V'hanoshim asher alu imo, the other men, the other Meraglim besides Yoshua and Kalev, quickly said, lo nucha lalos, we cannot go up into the land, ki chazak u'imenu, for the indigenous nations are stronger than us. It's impossible for us to conquer the land. Vayotziu dibas haaretz, asher todu also b'nei Yisrael imor, haaretz asher avarnu ba losro, so eretz ocheletz yoshevahi, v'cholam lesu asher ra'inu b'socha anshe midos. So again, so the Torah says over here that the Meraglim say to Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, too difficult, too overwhelming, too challenging. There is absolutely no way we could go in to conquer this land. And of course we know that this report meets with disastrous results. That as a result, ultimately, again, of the sin of the Meraglim, Klal Yisrael has vanished to the desert for 40 years. Not just that, but remember again, this event is so nationally traumatic that the day upon which this event occurred becomes a day that is forever marked for tragedy within our people, which of course, again, the Meraglim come back, deliver their disastrous report on Tisha B'Av. And again, this is the first traumatic event of many traumatic events to unfold on this particular date, which means that the chet of the Meraglim was so profound that it fundamentally altered the nature of time. Meaning, in order to be able to transform a day into every day is filled with promise, and every day is filled with hope, and every day is filled with optimism, to transform a day from hope, optimism, dreams, aspirations, into a day of tragedy, into a day of tragic circumstances, means such an overwhelming traumatic event. That's Shlach. That's the chet of the Meraglim. That's this particular episode that unfolds. Now, in addition, we're going to focus primarily on this, but in addition, there's another traumatic episode, a very enigmatic episode in number 2. Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar, vayimtzu ish mekoshesh itzu v'yom Shabbos. There was Jewish people in the desert, and they found a man literally gathering wood on Shabbos day. So this man was Mechalo Shabbos. He publicly desecrated the Shabbos. So what happened? They have no idea what to do with this individual for one simple reason, and that is because it never happened before, right? Meaning, they've learned about Shabbos, they've been told about Shabbos, they've been charged regarding Shabbos, but at the same time, there has never been an episode like this. Moshe Rabbeinu is dumbfounded. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what to do. Ultimately, again, they execute the desecrator. This is a traumatic episode, and again, we've spent 3 years ago, we studied this section, so I figured we don't have to do it again. Because you remember it, right? Of course. And then Meraglim, we've studied already the last number of years. But the point over here is, you see, these are episodes that defy comprehension. It doesn't make a difference how many times you read the story of the Meraglim. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that a nation who saw what our ancestors did, a nation who saw God bring Paro down to his knees, a nation who saw that Ribono Shel Olam split the sea, a nation, 3.5 million people who are fed daily by God himself, who see the cloud, who see the fire, who see all of these active miracles each and every day, to think that somehow God can't fight a war on their behalf, it doesn't make sense. And we understand because, you know, in general, when people usually lose it about something, it's usually never about that something. Usually there's something else going on in their life, and that particular event was a trigger. Was a trigger? That's what happens in the Meraglim. It's not about Eretz Yisrael. It's about a whole host of other deeper issues. A lack of self-confidence, a lack of belief in themselves, a feeling that at the end of the day they don't measure up, they're still just slaves. There's a lot of complex psychology that's unfolding in the middle of the Sinai Desert. The Mekoshesh Eitzim, the Shabbos desecrator, a very strange episode. Why is it a strange episode? You know, I understand today, if somebody, even though today, thank God it's not the challenge of our generation, but you understand the generation or two ago, someone had a strong desire to violate the Shabbos. Because again, person needed for parnasa, person had to do it to make a livelihood. Again, in the desert, there's no livelihood. Meaning, if you think about it, there's not all that much difference between a Shabbos and a Sunday and a Tuesday in the desert. Meaning, no one's going out to work, right? Pretty much everyone is marching towards Eretz Yisrael. They're on a singular mission. The goal is to travel. The goal is to get to the destination. Here's a man who's mechalel Shabbos for seemingly no reason. So again, we discussed last year or 2 years ago the deeper meaning in the story of the Mekoshesh. But I don't want to focus primarily on either of those stories. Instead, I want to use those stories as a backdrop to an interesting conclusion of the parasha. So meaning, when you go through Parasha Shlach, and again, as I've often said in this year and other shiurim, the best way to learn Chumash is you have to learn it like through a child's eyes. Imagine for a moment you're learning these episodes for the first time. So imagine you're opening up your Chumash. So what happens by the time you get to the end of Shlach? Let's be honest, what happens by the time you forget? Remember, you just saw these stories for the first time. How are you feeling? Lousy. Well said, right? You're feeling traumatized. Like, oh my gosh, what's happening over here? What is happening over here? We're a year out of, not even a year out of Egypt, and we're falling apart. And again, remember, these events are following on the heels of one another. By the way, I have bad news. I don't want to spoil the surprise, but it gets worse next week, right? Because next week is Parshas Korach. There's a whole rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you're reading this, you wonder to yourself, what is going on over here? So what I found intriguing is looking at number three. So you would expect how the parsha needs to end in a particular, meaning here we're traumatized. I'm traumatized as the reader, all the more so we can only imagine our ancestors who are actively in the desert living through this must have been traumatized as well. So how is the Ribono Shel Olam going to close out this particular section? Meaning God, give me, you know, the Ribono Shel Olam is the greatest optimist. Our optimism comes from him. So in the heels of all of these catastrophic events, I'm looking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me some perspective, give me some insight, give me some hope, give me something. But how does the parsha, and take a look at number three. Vayomar Shal Moshe Leimor, Dabir al B'nei Yisrael v'amart aleim asulem tzitzis, al kanfei bigdem darosam v'nasnu al tzitzis hakanaf p'sil tcheles. Okay, interesting. The mitzvah of tzitzis. After all of this parsha trauma, after all of these difficult events, after all these difficult episodes, now we have the parsha of tzitzis. And the obvious question is why? Meaning what? We have to understand one thing. We have to assume that the placement of this particular mitzvah on the heels of these two traumatic events is not haphazard. Meaning clearly it's placed here for a particular reason. But why tzitzis? And why tzitzis is for a number of reasons. First of all, again, we'll see in just a little bit that tzitzis is not an obligatory mitzvah. Second of all, tzitzis only applies to one part of the population. It only applies to men. It doesn't apply to women. So why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu... Now, that being said, right, I'll speak out of the other side of my mouth. So you understand, of course, that every single mitzvah has a deeper meaning that applies to everyone. So just because a woman doesn't fulfill the mitzvah or doesn't have the mitzvah of wearing tzitzis does not mean that she does not absorb the message of tzitzis. Every single, it's the same way that if I'm not a kohen, I'm not a kohen, and therefore there are large swaths of Torah don't apply to me because they're about sacrificial law, but they do apply to me. Maybe the mechanistic details don't apply to me because I'm never going to have the opportunity to offer up a sacrifice, to offer up a carbon, to work in the Beis HaMikdash, but there's a message embedded in every single mitzvah. So we have to understand that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to put the mitzvah of tzitzis at the end of this traumatic parsha, it could only be for one reason, and that is, there's a message. There is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to convey to us, to help us heal our wounds, to help us regain our optimism, and to help us regain our footing. That was true historically, and it's true contemporarily as well. So what we're going to try to do this evening is to try to figure out what is the message within the mitzvah of tzitzis, and how ultimately does it relate back. We're not going to focus on number two, on the makoshesh, on the tree gatherer, but rather we're going to focus a little bit more back on the meraglim. What is the connection? What is the chizuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us through the mitzvah of tzitzis that somehow is supposed to address the debacle of the spies? So just as an interesting aside, that in general, on a basic level, what is the meaning of the mitzvah of tzitzis? Meaning, if you think about it, it is one of our stranger mitzvahs. I mean, just if you look at it for the first time, I mean, if you've ever had an encounter with someone who's not Jewish and they see your tzitzis, you know, good luck trying that. It's really like, I've come to the conclusion there are certain things that you just can't adequately describe. And so often the easiest thing is just say, listen, God tells me to do it, so I do it. Right? I can try to give you all the rationale. So take a look. So what is the basic meaning? So the Sfarno says in number 4, so the Torah says, you shall see the tzitzis, and you will remember all the mitzvos of God. Tiskeru sha'atem avadim lekel yisparach, v'shekibaltem mitzvosa ba'ala b'shvua, v'zeh bira osam atzitzis, shukechosam ha'melech ba'avadav, So the Sfarno says something very beautiful. The Sfarno says that tzitzis are like the signature of God, the signet of God, I should say, the sign of God. That the same way, you know, like lahavdil, if a person goes ahead and works in an office, so very often a person has to wear like a badge and a lanyard to identify myself that I belong here. So the tzitzis, ultimately, again, says the Sfarno, is like the badge of the Ribbono Shel. By the way, we have a number of badges. Tefillin also falls into that category. Bris Milah falls into that category. There are certain things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have on our person that represents, that identify us ultimately again as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's followers. If you take a look at number 5, so Nechama Leibowitz, Zichrona Livracha, says along the same lines, she says, the chief purpose of this precept would therefore seem to be to act as a device for aiding the memory, just as a person ties a knot on his garment to remember something. So this is actually a very interesting idea. So I guess, by the way, I don't know, I didn't have a chance to Google this, but I would venture to say maybe the notion of like tying a bow on your finger, tying a string on your finger, I guess has its origins in tzitzis. Remember again, this also goes back to Rashi's idea that the number of strings and the number of knots, the numerical values represent, add up to 613. The idea being, Uri'isem also, when you see the tzitzis, they are the visible reminder of all of the mitzvos. It's the string around my finger that is there to remind me that I am a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That ultimately, again, I am a follower of God and I am bound by this code of conduct, which just as an aside, interestingly enough, tells us that God tells us that we need reminders. It's a very important idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that we need reminders. No matter how devout one is, no matter how pious one is, at different points in time, we sometimes lose connection with our Judaic identity. Tzitzis are there, and by the way, tzitzis serve as a reminder for two groups. Tzitzis serve as a reminder for the individual who's wearing it, but it also serves as a reminder for who? For those who see it. Right? That's part of the idea as well. That it's not just a reminder for me, but if someone else sees my tzitzis, that ultimately, again, they are reminded of Torah, they are reminded. So it is a built-in memory mechanism. It's built in to remind us of our allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our adherence to His Torah Mitzvah. So again, these are beautiful. If you look at the Chizkuni, I'll give you one more piece. This is actually quite beautiful. He says over here, Vasulam tzitzis, lo iniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu davar ba'olam, shelo nasnu bo mitzvah v'Yisrael. The Chizkuni says, there is not, everything in this world has an associated mitzvah with it. In other words, that everything that is material in this world, God attaches a mitzvah to it. There's nothing that's just material without a mitzvah. Of course, that's the Ribbono Shel Olam's ultimate message to us, that our job is to go ahead and lift up the material. We've said on this many times, I think even last week, we're not an ascetic religion. We're not the people who believe that God can only be found by divorcing yourself from the pleasures of this world. Just the opposite. We see it as our job to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything that is material. That's why we have mitzvos associated with every material thing. For example, he says, Yotza Lachrosh, if I go out to plow my field, so there's a mitzvah, I'm not allowed to plow with a donkey and an ox together. Lizroa, I come to plant in my field. Lotiz rekelayim, you're not allowed to plant mixtures of different things. Liktzar, when you go to harvest your wheat. Kisiktzar ketzircha, you have to leave ultimately again. Leket, shichacha, pay out different gifts for the poor. Lalush, when you go ahead and you knead your dough. Reishis harisov seichem, you have to separate challah. Shachat, v'nasim l'koin az rav l'chaim akeva. If you shecht an animal, tons of the base hamikdash, you have to give a kohen his portion. Kansibor, you have a bird's nest in your backyard. Shaleach t'shalach esayim, you have to send away the mother. Bechayu ba'ofa shavach esma v'kisa ba'afar, with non-domesticated animals, when you shech them, there's a mitzvah of kisrei hadam, covering up the blood. Nata, if you plant a tree, v'araltem arlaso, you have to leave arla, you have to leave the fruit for the first 3 years. Yolda zachar, a woman gives birth to a baby boy. Gimal basar arlaso, there's a bris milah. Kavar as hames, a person buries the dead. Lo tiskodadu, you cannot go ahead and lacerate yourself in mourning. Migalech, if a person shaves, lo sakifa, they can't round out the corners of their head. Banabais vasisamake, banabais, person builds a home, vasisamake. You have to put a roof, a fence around your roof. Uksat, you have to put up a mezuzah. The idea that Chizkuni is saying is what? Everything that is material in this world, we have a corresponding attached mitzvah. Therefore, says the Chizkuni, Niskasa betalis, if you put on your garment, Vaasu lohem tzitzis. Now, remember again, so today we perform the mitzvah of tzitzis just a bit differently, right? So we go out of our way to purchase a four-cornered garment. But understand, from a biblical perspective, four-cornered garments were the norm, right? The person would wear a cloak. So if you're wearing a cloak, that was a four-cornered garment. Therefore, again, people historically had tzitzis on all of their garments, not just on a garment that a man wore underneath, or even just on top of his clothing. Not like a specific mitzvah garment. It was an article of clothing. So the Chizkuni understands the mitzvah of tzitzis as part of the general mandate to infuse spirituality and holiness into every single potentially mundane and material thing in this world. And by the way, in this respect, what the Chizkuni is saying is the following, that even how you clothe yourself, you know, clothing, it's not our topic for today. When we spoke about this in the parashos of Titzaveh and Pekudei, when the Torah spoke about the clothing of the Kohen, Torah places an incredible emphasis on clothing. An incredible emphasis on clothing. And Chazal do this as well. Why? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu understood that a large part of our sense of self is wrapped up in how we dress. In other words, whether we want to admit it or not, we size people up by the way they dress very quickly, right? We don't like to admit it, but we all do it. And there's a logic in that, because how a person dresses often bespeaks how they feel about themselves, how they carry themselves, and how they perceive themselves. So therefore, again, the Chizkuni is saying over here, I might think that when I get dressed, I'm getting dressed for me. Therefore, what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say? Put tzitzis on your clothing. Because when you get dressed, you're not just getting dressed for you. You're getting dressed because you're an ambassador of God. You're getting dressed because you are the Ribbono Shel Olam's man or woman in this world, here to represent his name and to make him beloved in the eyes of everyone. Therefore, your clothing can't just be about you. Your clothing has to be holy as well. So the Chizkuni sees this as part of the larger motif or the larger discussion of infusing holiness into every single thing in this world. So again, and I want to point out, these are not either or. So in other words, whether you understand like the Sfarno, that tzitzis represent almost like the signature, the signet ring of God that we wear, or in the Nechama Leibowitz, it's a reminder, it's a simple reminder, ultimately again, of all of the mitzvahs, or the Chizkuni, it's the way in which we infuse holiness into our clothing. It's the way in which we infuse holiness into our clothing. Just as an aside, I mean, you'll talk about this at your Shabbos table, it's interesting to see how based on each of these reasons, you begin to understand the Chachmas HaBorei, why the mitzvah of tzitzis is for men and not for women. Now, of course, the simple answer is tzitzis is a time-bound commandment. One is not obligated to wear tzitzis at night, nor is one obligated to put tzitzis on nighttime four-cornered garments. In other words, if you got on sale, you know, four-cornered pajamas, right? They're on clearance, right? You're not chayiv to put tzitzis on them unless you wear them throughout the day. But if you're wearing pajamas throughout the day, you've got other issues, right? But again, so you begin to understand, by the way. So that's the technical mechanistic reason why a woman doesn't wear tzitzis. But the truth is, you begin to see from a lot of these reasons why logically it is a male-centric mitzvah, none of us. But again, that's not our topic for today. Instead, let's get back on track. What we're trying to figure out is, okay, I got it, important mitzvah, why is it here? Why is this on the heels of the Meraglim? What is it? Ribbono Shel Olam, obviously you placed it here for a reason. You could have placed this mitzvah anywhere else in your Torah HaKidosha. I understand it's an important mitzvah, it's a meaningful mitzvah, but why here? So I want to share with you three different approaches. Each will be an approach into the mitzvah of tzitzis, but each will also give us an important life lesson and a necessary life lesson in the aftermath of the sin of the Meraglim. Take a look at number 7. The Gemara Maseches Menachos writes, Tanya, Hayyar B'Meir Omer, Meir used to say, Manishtana Tchelas Mikominei Tzivonim. So remember, again, in biblical tzitzis, you had what's called Tchelas. That's what's called Tchelas. Tchelas is the blue string. Actually, again, there's a beautiful program taking place this Sunday at Shomrei Emunah about the mitzvah of Tchelas. It's fascinating, just the technology that they have today. And the fact that, according to many opinions, we have once again rediscovered what Tchelas is. But in any event, why is it that we dye one string blue? Why is that? Manashan Tchelas b'chomenei tzivonin, mivnei shat Tchelas dom eliyam, v'yam dom el rakia, v'rakia l'kisei akavet. So the Gemara says, beautiful Gemara Maseches Menachos. Why blue? Because blue resembles the sea. The sea resembles the celestial sphere, and the celestial sphere resembles the throne of God. So the goal over here is, again, so the blue of the tzitzis reminds me of the blue of the sea. Blue of the sea reminds me of the blue of the heavens. Blue of the heavens reminds me of the color, apparently, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why, by the way, you'll notice, if you ever go to Tzfat, and you go to the ancient cemetery in Tzfat, or the truth is, not just you walk anywhere in Tzfat, everything is what color? Light blue. Right? Why? Because again, Kabbalistically, light blue has incredible significance, all based on this Gemara. All based on the Chiz. That's why even in the, it's an incredible thing, even in the cemetery, you have Kvarim that are painted blue, especially by the Mikubalim. Painted blue, again, all based on this Gemara, because it's that Tcheles. Resembles the sea, resembles the heavens, resembles the Kisei HaKavod. So the goal, ultimately, is that when I look at my Tcheles, when I look at my Tzitzis, I am once again reminded of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It goes back a little bit to some of the ideas that we said before, but it's utilizing the blue. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, says something absolutely beautiful. He says, and by the way, just as an aside, this Gemara is fantastic, meaning if you wanted to save a couple of lines in the Talmud, how could you have written this statement? Tchelas resembles the throne of God. Just save me the time, right? Meaning, cut out the sea, cut out the middle band, cut out the sea, cut out the heavens. But you understand that in the quest for spirituality, one has to go through steps. Spirituality is a ladder. And just like on the ladder, if you try to skip some of the rungs, you will fall. When it comes to spirituality, it's the same exact thing. If I try to go from here to the Kisei HaKavod, I'm never going to make it. But if I go from here to the sea, from the sea to the heavens, bless you, then over time, I could find myself close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I could find myself by the Kisei HaKavod. An incredible metaphor for spiritual growth. But Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, says something amazing. He says, if you go to the middle, I apologize, I should have lettered it. It's 2, 4, 6 lines in. V'nira b'tzitzis, dihi mitzvah shalom ne'emra l'chiyuv ala gavra, ela b'im yilbash beged shal dalek k'nafos, l'chi ne'emra v'yomer. Let me just read more line. Val im ken yiksha me'achar de mitzvah chaviva kol kach shemeviya lidei zechira va'asiyah dechala Torah my taima eino b'chiyuv. Rav Moshe asks a fascinating question. Is tzitzis an obligatory mitzvah? What would you say? The answer is, it depends. What does it depend on? Do you have a four-cornered garment? If you have a four-cornered garment, you have to put it in. Let's say, again, I'm offended by four-cornered garments, right? I'm offended by four-cornered. Everybody has to be offended by something in these days, right? So for me, I'm offended by four-cornered garments. Do I have an obligation? Therefore, I don't own one. Do I have an obligation to go out and purchase a four-cornered garment in order to put tzitzis on it? And the answer is no, I don't. Now, it happens to be today, our present practice is we go out of our way to obligate ourselves in the midst of tzitzis. But the truth is, again, if I'm not wearing a four-cornered garment, then I don't have an obligation. But Sister Moshe, I don't understand. The mitzvah of tzitzis seems so powerful. What does the mitzvah of tzitzis, based on what we just learned, what does the mitzvah of tzitzis represent? The mitzvah of tzitzis represents the need to create connection. The need to create relationship. Ribono shel Olam, I'm going to structure my life in such a way that I am on a trajectory of growth. I'm going to take the first step from here, then the next step to the sea, then the next step to the heavens, then the next number of steps to Kisei HaKavod. What tzitzis represents, bigadol, in a large panoramic way, is the need for the Jew to grow, the need for the Jew to establish a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the need for the Jew to grow incrementally and in different steps. Ask Zera Moshe. Tzitzis is so ridiculously important. Why isn't it obligatory? I don't understand, meaning, why are you leaving the performance of this mitzvah to the discretion of the individual? So if I choose not to go ahead and ever purchase a four-corner garment, and therefore, again, I've never worn tzitzis one day in my life, am I a good Jew? Yeah? Yeah, I mean, again, I have never performed this positive commandment, but that's okay. I never had an obligation to perform. And again, the halacha doesn't mandate that one has to go out of their way. So ask Ramosha, I don't understand, if it's so important, then why not mandate it? And Ramosha says something amazing. Venira, de lasos mitzvah zu al yidei chiyuv lo sabi lidei zechira va'asiyo kirak me'ahava Misponin Bahadavru Bala Zahira Vasya. Ramosha says something amazing. Tzitzis is an aspirational mitzvah that represents growth, that represents a mantra in life that says, I want to be more. I will not settle for mediocrity. I will not just get by. I will not coast or get on cruise control for the rest of my life. I want to become someone and something more significant. Says Rav Moshe something amazing. You can't force people to grow. You could force people to do a lot of things. You could force a person, God could tell me, I have to keep Shabbos. Okay, I have to keep Shabbos. And if I stay in bed and I sleep for 25 hours, I know it sounds good sometimes, right? If I want to do that, have I kept Shabbos? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells me that I can't eat certain animals. Okay, I'm not going to eat. God can regulate my behavior. What God can't make me do is grow. Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu can't turn me into a mavakish. He can't make me into a seeker. If I want to be mavakish, if I want something more out of life, that only comes about because I actively choose it. Therefore, Rav Moshe says something absolutely amazing. He says the mitzvah of tzitzis is the mitzvah of growth. It's the mitzvah saying, right now I'm here on this earth, but I want to expand my horizons. I want to become as vast as the sea. And then after I conquer the seas, I want to go up to the heavens. And I'm not going to be condemned. I want to get all the way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the ultimate mission statement of growth of the Jew. But says Rav Moshe, God can't force you to do that. God can't even command you to do that. God could suggest for you to do that. And therefore, according to Rav Moshe, something absolutely amazing comes out. What tzitzis represents is that every single person has to decide what he or she wants out of life. The Ribono Shel Olam could do a lot of things for me. But the one thing God can't, well, God can, but He chooses not to. The one thing God won't do for me is to determine what I am going to get out of life. What I get out of life, what my goals, what my aspirations, what my dreams are, that belongs to me and me alone. That's why tzitzis is a mitzvah. It's there. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying to us, growth is something that is important to me, to God. And therefore, again, I'm giving you a mitzvah mechanism through which you can understand the importance of growth. But I can't make it obligatory upon you, because you have to choose to go ahead and purchase the four-cornered garment. You have to choose to put the tzitzis on it. But if you choose growth, I'll be there with you the entire time. But it's not just about growth. When I say growth, because growth is often an amorphous word, what do we want out of life? You see, what the Gemara Maseches Menachos was saying is that tzitzis is a mission statement. What's the mission statement? The mission statement is, my goal as a Jew is to reach the Kisei HaKavod, to reach the throne of God. By the way, and that's not a metaphor for death. I mean, I want to reach the throne of God while I'm still kicking, while I'm still here. Meaning, my goal is I want to reach the throne of God. I want to establish a beautiful, meaningful, passionate relationship with God. That's what I want. That's what tzitzis says. What do I want out of life? And what Rav Moshe is teaching us is, do you know what happens so often in life? You know, we all have those moments when we say to ourselves, you know, how did I get here? Wherever the here is, people sometimes have that in their life relationships, people sometimes have it in their religious lives, in their careers. How did I get here? There's one answer to that question of how did I get here. Whether you're asking that about your marriage, about your kids, about your career, whatever it is, very often the answer is, at some point in time, I forgot to keep checking where I'm going. You see, because what often happens in life is we get rolling, we get moving, and there's good pace, there's good trajectory, and sometimes I forget to look at the map. And because I'm moving, I assume I must be moving in the right direction. And then one day I wake up and I say, you know what, I've been traveling, I've been moving, but not in the direction I wanted to go. I went off the road onto a detour road like 10 years ago. And I've been driving. And by the way, the detour road might not be a bad road either. The detour could be very nice. The scenery is beautiful. Plenty of rest stops, bathrooms. It's fantastic. But at the end of the day, it's not the path I wanted to go on. Rav Moshe is teaching us that the mitzvah of tzitzis reminds us that we have to make a conscious decision about where we want to go in life and what we want to have. In other words, imagine if you were to walk out of the shir tonight and somebody were to stop you in the parking lot, say, excuse me, can you tell me in one sentence, what do you want out of life? So I think most of us, I shouldn't speak about it, I know that I would have difficulty articulating that in one sentence. You know, if you give me like a couple of pages, I could write down a whole bunch of stuff. But that's because at the end of the day, I'm fumfering through it because it's not, I haven't articulated it enough for myself. Meaning, we should be able to rattle off the answer to that question, 1, 2, 3. And by the way, not something that sounds like nice and from and, you know, I want to be holy. You know, I mean, it's got to be something concrete. If you want to be holy, you have to understand, what does holiness mean? How does that manifest itself? What does that look like for you? And the big problem, says Rav Moshe, is that often we don't have life mission statements. I don't know what I want or where I'm going through life. And when you don't know where you're going or what you want, it is so easy to get derailed. What happened with the Meraglim? What happened with the Meraglim? The Meraglim lost sight of the dream. They lost sight of the whole mission. From the beginning of our peoplehood, going back already to Parshas Lech Lecha, there was one singular goal. What was the singular goal? Get to Eretz Yisrael. Now again, not that Eretz Yisrael is the end of everything. Eretz Yisrael is the means for many, but that was the singular goal. Get the Torah, get to Eretz Yisrael, establish our nationhood, build a society of Torah, of mitzvos, of chesed. That was the singular goal. Even though the Meraglim story is much more complex, on a very basic level, the Meraglim is a story of people who lost their way, who lost their vision, who detoured. They took a wrong turn. They get into the land, and essentially, again, they become so overwhelmed by what they saw that they forgot their mission. They forgot their sacred task. They forgot the road that they were on. Therefore, says Rav Moshe, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do for us at the end of the parasha? And by the way, that's why, at the end of the day, God doesn't destroy us, right? If you notice that, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu threatened to destroy us after the Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu intervenes and God spares us. You know, God doesn't change His mind. So, the Rebbe Shalom was never going to destroy us. Why was He never going to destroy us? Because He recognizes that even something as heinous as the Meraglim, it wasn't evil. It wasn't evil. It was just misguided. It was just misguided. It was just a group of very good people who lost their way in life. They took their eye off the ball. They forgot where they were going. They forgot what the mission was. And the moment you forget what your life mission, what your life mantra, what your life aspiration is, it leaves the door open for all kinds of detours and derailments. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? At the end of Parsha Shlach, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us the mitzvah of tzitzis. So it's very serene. And so right, what does very relaxing. So what does he say in the midst of tzitzis? So in the mitzvah of tzitzis, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us is, choose what you want out of life. Make a choice, make a decision. What do you want from this existence? What do you want from this world? That's what tzitzis is. Tzitzis is the tcheles domel yam, yam domel rakia, rakia domel kisa kavod. Tzitzis is a mantra. I want to grow. I want to grow. My goal in life is to get connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bless you. At the end, tzitzis tells us that you have to have a life mission statement. And if you don't know where you're going, one thing is absolutely clear, which is, not only will you never get there, but you're going to get lost in all of the most ridiculous ways. So at the end of this, at the end of the most dramatic and traumatic episode, where people lost their way, lost their vision, and therefore made terrible mistakes, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us the mitzvah of tzitzis, which in and of itself reminds us of the need for a life mission statement. You go home tonight, you go home over the weekend, whenever, and you sit down and you take a piece of paper and you sit down for a half hour by yourself and you ask yourself, what is my life mission statement? If somebody, what do I want out of this life? What do I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants out of my life? Now, by the way, I would say it's quite possible that that mission statement changes over time. Right? It doesn't have to be one mission statement, because sometimes a person makes a mission statement and Baruch Hashem, they accomplish that task. They accomplish that task. Wonderful. So you write another one. Or sometimes life circumstances change. And what I thought was important is maybe not as important now. Or what I thought was my tachlis maybe is not my tachlis. It's okay. It could change and you could go through 50 different versions and iterations. But the goal is at least to try the process. Because without the process of creating and formatting and crafting a life mission statement, I'm inevitably going to get lost. That's what happened to the Meraglim, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us. I can't force you, God says, to have a life mission statement. I can't force you to decide on a destination. I can't force you to choose a path forward. I could just suggest it. I'm suggesting it. I hope you take my suggestion, and I hope ultimately, again, you create and you craft that life mission statement for yourself. Take a look. Take a look for a moment now at number 11. Maybe we'll save the Ish Kodesh for a different time. So the Kli Yoker has a different approach. And the Kli Yoker writes, he says, Haderach Hasheni. So remember again, still trying to figure out the deeper meaning in tzitzis, and by extension, trying to figure out why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us this mitzvah now. So the Kli Yoker writes, Haderach Hasheni, Hu Shekol HaMitzvos Nimshilu LeBeged. We know that mitzvos in general are compared to a garment. Shenemar, Bechol Eis Yihiyu Begadecha Levanim. As the Pasuk says, at all times your clothing should be white. It's a Pasuk from Koheles. Right? The idea being at all times your clothing should be white, of course, is a metaphor for the idea that a person should always live their life in a state of spiritual preparedness. We know not what the coming day brings, and therefore a person should just always be ready. If my life is to end, something, I don't mean this like in a morose way, but if life is to end soon, I want to make sure that I'm ready. I want to make sure that everything I wanted to accomplish, I've done. Everything I needed to do, I've... Amnam, look what he writes. See, even though we normally call mitzvos a beged. So like, just like, again, you wear a garment, so the mitzvah is also my spiritual garment. The mitzvah clothes me. But it says the Kli Yoker, Amnam, second line, number 11, Yeshev do beinahem. There's a fundamental difference between them. How so? Kistam beged arug dafka minechutin harbe. A normal article of clothing is usually comprised of multiple threads. Ki chut echad ein bo kedei lehiskasos. Remember, again, you can't make an article of clothing out of one thread, because, again, that's obviously not enough to clothe. Aval malbush haneshama eino kein. But that is true for the clothing of the body. So clothing of the body ultimately, again, needs multiple threads to be woven together in order to form a fabric, in order to form an article of clothing. But when it comes to the clothing for the soul, what he calls the malbush haneshama, enokein, you could clothe the soul even with just one strand. Afilu ela afilu bichut echad yesh bo kedei lechasosa. Even one thread has the ability to go ahead and clothe the soul. Kididar Shab Yochanan, Libli Chok, Lemishalo Shema Filu Chok Echad, Haim Shema Filu Chok Echad, Mitzel Megehenim. So the idea is, so the Kli Yakar says something so beautiful. If we understand the metaphor of clothing, there are two different, there's physical clothing and there's spiritual clothing. The spiritual clothing are the mitzvos. My physical clothing, my physical clothing. So both clothe the individual. Both identify, right? My clothing is part of my identity. So what I clothe my body with gives me identity. What I clothe my soul with gives me identity as well. But says the Kli Yakar, but here's the fundamental distinction. For my physical clothing, it's multiple threads that go to make up the article of clothing. For spiritual clothing, even one thread, right? For physical clothing, one thread is insignificant. For spiritual clothing, even one thread could cover the soul. Even one thread could clothe an entire soul. He says, "V'tamo shel davar lefi shebris krusa shemitzvah goreres mitzvah." Ve'im kein miyad kishasarak mitzvah achas hayu kol hamitzvos bekocho la'asos af api shelo yotzum in hakoach halapoel. So the Kli Yakar says something so beautiful. We have the concept of Birkei Avos of mitzvah goreres mitzvah. That's one mitzvah causes another. Now, by the way, that's not an esoteric deep idea. I mean, it is a very deep idea, but it's not esoteric. It's behavioral conditioning. At the end of the day, once you go ahead and become accustomed to doing something, by definition, the more you do it, the more it becomes ingrained behavior. If I do a mitzvah once, that opens the door for future performances. The more I do mitzvos, the more I become habituated to these types of behaviors, the more they become a part of me. So therefore, says the Kli Yakar, something amazing. That's the power of one strand. Whereas one strand on my body doesn't do anything, one strand on my soul is the beginning of the making of a dramatic article of clothing. Because once I have that one strand, once I have that one mitzvah, I know one thing for sure, which is that one strand, that one mitzvah, is going to bring in its wake many other mitzvos. Because mitzvah goreres mitzvah. So once I get myself into a rhythm of spirituality, I know that I'm going to pick up spiritual momentum. So he goes on, he says, V'zehu, last four lines, V'zehu sod hachut shel tcheles, hamaskir es kol mitzvos Hashem. Says the Kli Yakar something so beautiful. He says, this is the deeper meaning of tcheles, of the blue string. The blue string is there to remind us of all the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki al yodo na'ase beged shalim l'neshama, ve'ino nikbar arum, ad shiyya ka'adam harishon shirak mitzvah achas, haisav yodo. This is amazing. Mr. Lewis is outside. The Kli Yakar is, essentially, the Kli Yakar is asking an unasked question, which is, if tcheles is so beautiful, if tcheles is so magnificent, then what's your obvious question? Why only one string died in Tcheles? Why don't you dye the whole, all the tzitzis? Dye everything in Tcheles, right? Dye the beggar in Tcheles, the tzitzis in Tcheles. If it's so powerful and it's so beautiful, especially what we just learned before, that it represents growth, it represents spiritual aspirations, it represents connection with God, so why not dye all of them blue? And the Kli Yakar says something amazing. He says, because if you would dye all of them blue, you would think that the pathway to God is paved with perfection. That you gotta be a tcheles Jew. You have to be a tcheles Jew. You gotta get everything perfectly. You have to be moving, you have to be growing, and everything has to be in perfect spiritual harmony. So what does the HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach us? He says, all I need is for one string to be blue. All I need for you is to start somewhere. All I need for you is to get the process started. I'm not asking you to present me with a perfectly crafted garment of the soul. What am I asking you for? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, one string. Just give me a thread. Just give me one thread. Just give me one mitzvah. Just give me one act of growth. Just give me one act of chesed. Just give me one string. And if you give me one string, there's one thing I can guarantee you, which is if you're serious about that first string, it's only a matter of time until you get the second string. And then the third, and then the fourth. And over time, you will craft for yourself a beautiful garment of your soul, a beautiful garment of spiritual accomplishment. This, says the Kli Yakar, is the deeper meaning of the mitzvah of Tcheles. All of them blue would have represented spiritual perfection, which, to be honest, is a threshold that most of us will never and can never cross. So if that's what God wants of me, I'm sorry, I might as well bail out now. Shmuel says, no. All I ask of you is one string. The other seven are white. You know, white, white is an interesting color, right? Because on one hand, it's pure, it's pristine, it's regal, it's elegant, and it's also what? It's also plain. It's also plain. Sometimes in life, most of me is just white. Sometimes in life, most of me is just average, ordinary, plain, regular. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's okay. As long as you're dyeing one of those strings blue, as long as you're starting somewhere, as long as you're building yourself in some way, I know one thing is for sure, which is you'll find a way to craft that garment. Mitzvah goreres mitzvah. Get one string around your soul. And I have no doubt that the rest will follow. Why is this important for the Meraglim? Because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Kli Yakar, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us is the following. In the aftermath of the sin of the spies, what was the greatest existential question that Kali Yisrael faced? The greatest existential question was, will we ever be able to rebound? Right? After all of this, will we ever be able to rebound? Will we ever be able to rebuild ourselves? That was the fundamental question. We see how far we have fallen. We see how badly we've divested ourselves of all of our holiness. Will we ever be able to regain our footing? Or is this it? And that's why, by the way, the next morning, what does Klal Yisrael try to do? The very next morning, after God says, you're going to die in the desert, what does God say? What do the Jewish people do? They go to war. Right? Remember, again, they assemble the army. And in fact, again, Amalek beats them back. The same Amalek that they conquered just a little while ago. But guys, no. Why do they go to war? You know, because sometimes in life, you know, in that moment, after you make a really, really, really bad mistake, and you would, I know no one here knows what I'm talking about, but maybe you have a friend, right? And sometimes you make a really bad mistake, and that moment where you realize, oh my gosh, I just did that. And what do you want to do in that moment, besides crawl under a rock? You want to, okay, how do I fix this? How do I fix this? And you're ready to move heaven and earth to fix it until you realize that what? That you can't. Meaning, I can't fix it. I can't fix it. Klal Yisrael sins with the Meraglim. They can't fix that mistake. So what do you do in life when you did something really bad? You messed up terribly. You cannot reverse the events. You cannot turn back the clock. You cannot fix it. What do? And the answer is tchelas, tzitzis. You rebuild yourself one string at a time. Sometimes we handicap ourselves in incredibly dramatic ways. And sometimes we you know, not hit a dead end, but we like drive full force into the dead end. And there is no way to back out, and there is no way to reverse, and there is no way to do over. So what do I do when I'm stuck right there? That's the habit of Klal Yisrael. I don't think sometimes because we learn these stories, when we learn this so many times, we don't fully process the enormity. Meaning, do you understand what it means when you hear from God that you're not going into the land of Israel, that you're going to die in the desert, and that everybody over the age of 20, which might have included your children, which might have included your grandchildren, which might have included your friends, your siblings, are all going to die in anonymous places in the desert. Right? There's no Beis HaKvaras. You know, there's no kever to go to. They disappeared into the sands of time. Do you understand the enormity of hearing that? How do you go on? How do you wake up the next morning and put your life back together after that? What do you do? And the answer is, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you the mitzvah of tzitzis. That sometimes in life, when you find yourself in a horrible situation that you cannot change, you just simply rebuild yourself one string at a time. One little bit of incremental growth every single day. One little bit of incremental growth at different increments. Those little increments, those little strings, when pieced together, will come to ultimately form a beautiful garment. Now again, sometimes even with your tzitzis, you can't reverse the clock. You can't change the way things are. You can't go ahead and make it the life that you wanted. But as you know, life is all about not spending your time thinking about the life you want, but rather maximizing the life you have. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us over here. Meraglim, you guys messed up in an irreversible way. We still suffer the consequences of that mistake till this very day. So there is no turning back, God. There is no do-over. But what you now need to do is build yourselves back up one string at a time. So if we bring this all together, it turns out that this little mitzvah of tzitzis, that although we all know is one of the 613 mitzvos, turns out to be a powerhouse of spiritual messaging and ultimately a real roadmap for life. Boshem gives us the mitzvah of tzitzis because, yes, on the basic level, the mitzvah of tzitzis is the signet ring of God. It is the reminder of Torah mitzvos. It reminds us that everything material has a spiritual purpose. But ultimately, it conveys to us two important and really, I think, life-changing lessons. Lesson number one from tzitzis is write your life mission statement. Decide what you want out of life. Don't let the momentum of existence dictate the direction in which you're going to go in. Choose your direction. Choose your trajectory. God cannot choose that for me. God cannot will that. I mean, God can, but God chooses not to will that. Because Baruch Hu says, I want you to grow. I want you to do something great. But you have to write your own life mission statement. I can't do that for you. And lesson number two, which ultimately lesson of the Kli Yakar, that when we find ourselves in a dead end in life, when we find ourselves suffering in the aftermath of catastrophic loss or catastrophic failure, when I say catastrophic, you know, catastrophic is a very subjective term. When I find myself in a dead end in life and I realize that, you know what? I can't reverse out of this one. I can't totally change this one. So what do I do? And the answer is the Kaddish Baruch Hu is, rebuild yourself one strand of tcheles at a time. Clothe your soul with one string at a time. Build yourself up through positive steps, slowly, methodically, but in a sustained, continuous fashion. And if we build ourselves up one string at a time, one little bit of tcheles at a time, the day will come when we find our souls, when we find ourselves blanketed in that beautiful garment of spirituality, in that beautiful garment of self-accomplishment. All right, stop over here.